Hello and welcome to another episode of the Steam Room, the steamiest of all rooms here at G1X, a building that seems to flirt with Antarctic conditions from time to time. Luke Donomay.
That's it.
There's a couple of offices in this house of racing that sort of hover around the 2 or 3 degree mark, despite the fact that it's 9 outside. The air conditioning works, at least.
Works beautifully. Despite this, you've just got the one towel around your waist.
Yeah.
I've got one towel around my waist. D-tag it. You've got one towel only around your head.
Pat Cash fan then.
That's it. I'm letting it all hang out today, Shark and Lukey.
It's great to see.
Absolutely. Well, Tags, we enjoyed you so much last week. We thought we better get you back this week. And your cab didn't turn up in time, so we thought we had some, 15 minutes up our sleeve. So thanks for coming back on the show.
You're welcome. I think I'll have to renew my contract here with G1X.
Absolutely. All right, look, all the news is in the UK this week, boys. There's been a couple of scandals. One at the racetrack at Royal Ascot. Eishin Hikari, the Japanese superstar, was beaten. What did you make of this deplorable performance? It was almost like a kamikaze-like run. He went hard till the 400. He was inside of his target, and he dropped dead.
Well, Shark, yeah, you jump lead and you're meant to win, but it wasn't to be. I think the horse might have been nobbled. Filled up with something, just like our next segment coming in.
We'll get to the great work of Marco Pierre White Jr. in a moment. Lukey D, I know you had some thoughts around your Taka Take's ride and also some correspondence from a Japanese fan we've had on Twitter.
We have had some correspondence, we have. Look, I thought, $1.70 favourite runs last, not
never great.
Exactly ideal. But, six horses beaten by a nose really into fifth. I don't know. I'd be keen to back him, next start. He's won 10 of his 13 starts. Winx has run 11 of her 17. So just show a little bit of forgiveness.
He did win in France last time, a Group 1 level by 10 lengths, and looked like Hercules with four legs.
That's
so,
right.
I think we probably do need to give him another chance.
So what was the excuse for his horrible run, Shark?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Tags. The owner said, and I quote, "The track was like a luxurious carpet. He doesn't like that." So I think we take from that.
He likes to run on shit heaps.
Not a fan of the Persian rug.
No. Clean shaven tracks aren't his go.
That's right up his alley, I think. Too much cushion.
Yes.
Tag, Craig didn't tell me a story about his carpet at his house once.
Whenever you start giggling, Luke, I just figure we're getting into dangerous territory. This does have a G rating, you realise?
Yeah, no, Carpet Core made plenty of money that weekend that I stayed the night. So that's another story, though, Lukey D.
Anyway, goodness.
I just want to turn to Japan here. So this was what they said. So Sharks put out his article. We've put up the article. And a tweet's come back from Japan. I've pressed the old Google Translate, and this was what they've said.
The quote.
"The mount was hardship. Jockey Yutaka Take. The cheers for you. Sleep well. Support from now on." I think that's pretty much translates to what I said, Shark. Support him from now on, because he's a superstar.
I'd take that as a threat. I think that's telling me to sleep with one eye open, and unless you support the horse, we're coming for you samurai ninja style.
Hard body karate, could be, we don't know.
Mate, who can't judge pace in the UK? They stack and rack there, and to go that hard, geez.
So basically, I think we're all in agreement. Yutaka Take buggered it up. We move on to the second scandal in Britain this week. Now, as you know, listeners, I'm a massive fan of reality TV. If it's Kiss Bang Love or First Dates or Love Island, basically, if it's on after 11 o'clock at night and it's on MTV or
SBS,
Arena or something like that, there's a fair chance that I'm having a single malt and enjoying
Cocktails with Chloe.
The disappointment of others. Yeah, basically. I was really disappointed this week in the behaviour of a young man called Marco Pierre White Jr.
What happened?
Are you across this, boys?
I'm more aware of Marco Pierre Sr.'s fine work.
Just a genius in the kitchen.
Yep.
The king of cutlery.
Culinary skills are
Where's my kingfish? Where's my kingfish? Bit of that
yes,
action.
Yes, Marco. Yes, Marco. That's right.
Well, I was a bit fishy at the Big Brother household.
Oh, I don't know if we can say that, but we're going to go with it. Marco Pierre White Jr. is currently residing in the Big Brother celebrity house in the UK. Now, within an hour of being there, he's confessed to a room of three women that his last holiday was a three-month European sojourn during which he blew 250,000 pound on cocaine, alcohol and prostitutes.
Is that daddy's money, Shark? Or?
I think it might be daddy's money. And he was quite proud of this fact. The women, well, I think it's fair to say that he'd done his dash with all of those that had heard the story in that one sentence. Except one. A plucky redhead named Laura Carter. Now, no less than an hour later, they were seen on one of the banana lounges outside having a bit of a pash. And what followed from that can only be described, and can only be described in some reporting circles, as pornographic.
He's a wild
stallion. Did they go too far? Did they go too far, Lukey?
I think so, mate. I don't know. Look, we haven't had Big Brother here for quite some time, have we? I think that's a thumbs up to Australia. Because although we love reality TV, I don't know about this. What do you say, D Taggart?
I've got no comment on it. I think it's great for ratings.
Did Big Brother jump the shark last night, Tags?
Mate, I tell you what. For an old deviant like myself, I reckon keep it going.
If you want to read more about the shenanigans inside the Big Brother house, you can go to dailymail.co.uk. The headline, all you need to type in, is Laura Carter says sex basically with Marco Pierre Jr. Insists she's not a homewrecker. I should mention that Marco Pierre Jr. is also engaged on the outside world. So fair to say he's living dangerously. We might take a short musical break and come back and ask our newest panellist when he's lived dangerously. With so much drama in the LBC, well, Snoop Dogg, as he said, so much drama this week in the UK. We learned of some drama in D Taggart's life last week with a drive-by shooting outside Gentleman's Establishment Kittens. And Tags, you've got another tale of shenanigans and also a large-ish win from your career.
Which D is, for Dangerous, that's all I can say.
D for Dangerous, yeah, that's his middle name. Did you ever use that in your heyday?
No, I didn't.
I'm David. My middle name's Danger.
Dangerous. Dangerous Dave.
So come on. We were talking about slings in the office earlier on. And of course, your ears pricked up. You hung up the phone and wandered over with a bit of a swag.
Just an excuse to get off the phone. And
Exactly. And you recounted this thrilling tale. Can you set the scene for us, please? Where were you? What were you doing?
Well, it was at a time in Macau. I rode there for 4 years and Mecca of the world now, and it was even then when the races were on, and they all loved the punt, and it was a Wednesday night meeting on the sand. This is just after Hong Kong had just finished their season, and we kept on going, and I only had the two rides for the night, and I thought both of them can win, and so I've, over there it's get your own. So I've spoken to an owner that I used to ride for, and I said I think I can win.
Hang on, get your own what?
Get your own coin.
Ah, so, now I'm with you.
Yeah, so I said to the owner, an owner that I used to ride for, and back in the day there, and I've tipped him the two. He goes, all right, I'll have $1,000 all up each way for you, $1,000 Aussie. You know, I went, yep, beautiful. So the first one's won by five, paid full $20 and $2. So you can do the maths. Next thing, I'm going out on my last one, And as a sneaky punter right that I was, I had a look at the semaphore board and it's paying $15 and I'm thinking, oh no, all these money's going through my head just before I'm going to the gates, and I started tying up and panicking and thought, Jesus. But as soon as the gates went, I relaxed myself, sat in the 1-1 and I did get a rush of blood. Won't lie, went a bit early on it.
What was going through your head? The horse to your inside, or the dollars that waited for you after the race?
I think it was about the 75K. So, so I've gone a bit too early. Left with about a furlong. Took off about a furlong before I wanted to. And long story short, the horse fell in by a whisker.
Oh.
And it only did that because I smashed the other horse over the head with the whip and got its head up. And otherwise, it would have been
on purpose.
On purpose, yeah. Come up on my inside, and I went.
How did you do that knowing that you had to keep your horse straight? Did you swap the hands and just give it a bit of the
Well, we go Sydney way and I had the whip in the right hand anyway. Oh. And, he came up on my inside. I said, nah, bad luck, son. And
these for danger.
And so it's got the money. So I'm pulling up. I'm thinking, here we go, $75,000. I've got the money spent already in my head. And we've come back and it's paid $5. Oh. They've backed it off the map. And yeah, and it's come into $5. So it was still about a $28,000 collect. So it was a drink.
What'd you do with that money, D?
I had a big couple of weeks with it, put it that way. I struggled to make 60 kilos a week later. So
What were you riding at when you won?
Yeah, no, I was always heavy, as you can tell. I'm a little dumpling, so I think that then I had about 58 or something, 57, 58 I was riding, but geez, it was a big fortnight.
No doubt. How does one spend a big fortnight in Macau? Is there any night spots or anything that you favoured over others?
There's plenty, but I think for the listeners to get the real feel of Macau, you'll have to go over there for yourself. I'll just spoil it for you.
Maybe that's a racing tour we can sort of line up there, Lukey. What do you reckon?
I think so.
Tours by Taggart.
I think so.
Problem is, race day ruins the week.
Do you reckon they'll survive night one?
Jay Didham's the president.
What do you need to survive a night in Macau, apart from a bodyguard?
Yeah, well, no, it's all right. The triads, they're big, lovely blokes anyway, so they're all right. They won't hurt you.
They're friendly good to people. You?
Very good. You've got to be good to them, though.
Very good. On that note, before we incriminate you any further, we might move on to this week's Tips of the Week. I don't know what's more entertaining for me, the actual parts of the show that we can legally put to air, or the in-between little lessons on life from David Taggart, including the official travel guide to Macau. If you ever see this man at a pub somewhere, you want to buy him a beer and just hear some of the tales of old, because I'll tell you what, it makes for some interesting listening, as does the world-famous Tips of the Week.
That's right.
3 out of 3 last week. I'm not sure if we did, but I'm going to go with it because, let's face it, you've all probably forgotten what they were anyway, and we're not going to recap them. Lukey, you bowled up a $20 winner last week.
I did, buddy.
What can you follow up with this week?
I did, and I'm going to follow it up this week. Moonee Valley, race 6, number 9. The Duke of Brunswick, ridden by Dwayne Dunn, coming off a second at Sandown. I think it could be the good, Sharkos.
Beautiful. I love where your head's at, mate. Where do you see it sort of settling in the run there? I know you're all over your speed map.
Just settling very, very well. I think old D. Dunn will just time it beautifully for us.
You know what that's called, Tags? That's called throwing your co-host under the bus. What about you, mate? What have you found this weekend?
Well, I'm fresh off my horse not getting beat last week in Spieth.
Well, that's right.
Yep.
It didn't run, so that's
three,
a winner.
He was in 3 races.
We're claiming it as a winner.
Yeah, correct. I'm very close to the family. Race 1, number 6, Mistopheles for Kevin Bodie. I wish him all the best. It's 33-1. It did run second in its first start at Ballarat in the 2-year-old race on Saturday. So hopefully he can, you can get the win. I'm just a little bit worried about Moonee Valley. I don't think the Valley may suit him.
Geez, that is that's a really big tip, that one. I'm loving where your head's at there. Mistopheles, 33-1. So is the Bode man confident?
I haven't spoken to him yet, but I'll try and get the ginger ale tomorrow for you, Shark.
What about your greyhound tips? Because you're working the phones hard in here at G1X, and yesterday one of our fantastic listeners heard that you're on the phone, demanded to be put through to you, had seen your story, the David Taggart story, and had a little something to warm your day.
He did. Ran at Richmond last night in the twilight. Race 10, number 8. The trainer rang me up and...
So he was the actual trainer of the dog?
Yes. Yes.
Race 10, number 8 at Richmond last night. Keep talking, keep telling us about it, and I'll find the name, because I know you've forgotten, particularly reminiscing about Macau.
And Chris Brennan.
Straight out of it.
Yeah, good mate of mine, Chris. Hopefully we can sell him a horse too. He's scaling down his team. And, it's saluted at the nice old price at $6.50. Not bad for a dog.
Were you on
one
tags?
By 3. I was on. The more you bet, the more you get.
It was called Out of Nowhere. $5.50. $6.70 it's paid on the
tote. Just like the phone call, Out of Nowhere.
Chris Brennan, good on you, mate. Well done. Good to see you Out of Nowhere. in the winners list last night. I'm off to Ascot, boys, on Friday night. Story I've been following over there for a little while now is that of the filly Jet Setting. She runs in the Group 1 Coronation Stakes at about 20 past 1 Melbourne time. She's going to go off at about $3. She eats the mud and she'll be winning this Group 1 contest. Fantastic story. You can read about it on g1x.com.au. Basically, the owners of this horse bought it for $12,000. They won a Group 1 and a Group 3 with it. They sold it last Sunday for €1.3 million.
Oh, isn't that a great racing story?
Not a bad turnaround in 6 months.
One for the battlers.
And all these boys do is they find tried horses they think they can improve and they get them going, get them racing, and they sell for a profit. But that's certainly the biggest profit they've made. Now, you're passing me a piece of paper here that says Moonee Valley, King Way, aren't you going to tell the punters about it, you dog? Thanks, Tags. I appreciate that.
Our resident trainer of G1X's trainer of Shay Eden.
That's right. Shay Eden does train King Way, a horse I'm fortunate enough to be a part owner of. Fair to say, since we brought him out from France, he's had a fair few problems, but we've got him right. He gets to 2,000 metres for the first time in Australia. Race 2, number 10. Kingway, I thought I'd get $7 or $8. He opened up at $4.20. I think it's too short, but you know what? I reckon he might win this week.
Well, ring up the Japanese trainer and see what he gave that horse, and you can give it the same.
And if he, well, we want it to win. Oh, yeah, well, maybe, yeah. I'll go on for the Japanese feed regime in Shanti, perhaps not at Ascot. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. I'm looking forward to some more offline steamy chat.
That's right.
Some more antics from Marco Pierre White Jr., and a trip to Macau with D Taggart.
Happy punting
out, boys.